Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 242, recorded on February 13th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and I hope you're doing absolutely fantastic, because, you know, Friday the 13th, and there you go.
Yeah, it is that. So whatever that means, I'm sure it is that, and happening that way.
It sure is something.
Mm-hmm. It sure is something. So we were talking a little bit before pre-show, and I figured we'd continue our discussion because I was struck by a bit of nostalgia over the last week or so, and I started looking for old iMac G4s on eBay and Craigslist and stuff. And I was talking to you about that, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't end up getting an iMac G4 because my enthusiasm for that has kind of dwindled because I got distracted. I got distracted. I still like them. I just paying $150 for one. I don't know. I'm not feeling it at this moment. But and I think part of it is because I dropped $500 on another iMac that I didn't need.
Okay.
Because I saw it on Craigslist an hour away. So it was a 27-inch 2009 quad-core i7 iMac with like 16 gigs of RAM and a
giant hard drive. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So it was like half the price that it is worth. And the dude in the description just said that the fans were just on full blast all the time, and he couldn't figure out why. And so me thinking that I know more than anybody else, or at least than the average Joe, and I assume this guy was the average Joe, I thought, I'm just going to buy this iMac and then I'll reset the SMC and it'll work just fine. And of course it did not. And this guy actually turns out he knows what he's doing, and he even had the thing apart to try and fix it, but he couldn't figure it out. And so I bought the iMac anyway, because I figured again that I could fix it. And he even gave me an old, Power Mac G5. He just kind of threw that in the deal.
So he made out pretty well.
Cause he got rid of a bunch of junk and got some cash.
Yeah. He ditched Power Mac G5 and, there you go. He ditched a Power Mac G5.
Yeah. He jettisoned it from his life. He didn't even format the hard drive. I turned it on and there was like pictures of the kids, but I wiped it and it's fine. It works all right. Probably going to sell it for $50 because what the hell am I going to do with the Power Mac G5? Anyway.
Turn it into like a disco light show box.
Sure, I could do that. So what I wanted to get to with the iMac is that it's the reason why the fan is going full tilt is because the RPMs, it can't read the RPMs on the CPU fan. So it just reads a zero in iStat menus. So it just runs at full blast.
Right, because it thinks the fan is off.
Right, and so I did some research and someone said they found that a resistor on the board was missing in that circuit, and that they soldered a resistor that they assumed was the correct one, and it solved the problem for them. And so I did more research and figured out the exact type that is needed. I ordered that. It's extremely small, though. It's like a millimeter long by a half a millimeter in width.
That's going to be some serious soldering action.
Yeah.
Don't drink until after.
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm actually having someone else who's better at soldering help me out.
Even better.
Yeah. He said he's confident in doing it, and he's the one who actually, he's like, I think that's a 402 size. And turns out it is, so I have faith in him.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I'm pretty sure it'll work because I touched a little, one of those standard colored resistors to it, and it and it solved the problem immediately. Of course, I was, I had the machine on and running with the face and off, and I was touching a little piece of electronics equipment to the board while that was happening, just, you know, because I'm insane.
This
like
is
that.
Why I love you.
Yeah. But it solved it. I immediately got some RPM readings, and fans stopped going nuts.
So do you know if it was like a design or a manufacturing flaw where some motherboards just didn't have the resistor or
that,
or did it fall off?
I think it fell off. Well, it looked like there were points. It looked like there was something there at some point. Unlike other, if you look at boards, sometimes you'll see pads that were just unused.
Right.
This looked like it had something soldered there. And I've done a lot of research, and it looked like there were a lot of other people who had the same problem. So I wonder if it's a design flaw where they're popping off somehow.
Yeah, design or manufacturing flaw.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, you are so badass that you took a regular old resistor, and while the board was running,
yeah,
it's like, hold it on. Hey, it works.
Yeah, I figured it was a good test.
That's a good test.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Everyone should try that at home. No, don't. Don't do it.
Well, I also put my my Mac Classic Logic board through the dishwasher, but I think I've already talked about that.
I have done that with keyboards.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, yeah.
But only try it only as like a last resort kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, my keyboard or my motherboard is dirty. Let's run it through the dishwasher. No. It's like everything else is failing, and it's going in the trash unless this works.
Yeah. So this show is sponsored by Smile Software at PDF Pen. What the hell? It's at pdfpen.com. No, it's Smile Software, and we're going to talk about PDF Pen Pro 7 for OS 10 in a bit. And,
awesome.
Of course, Adam is not here. He's in Florida having fun. I think he's seeing Mickey Mouse right now, and then he's going to check out some rockets later.
And both of those are code.
I did not know that.
No, they're not. I was just saying that because now people are going to be like, oh, Adam.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the iOS stuff because we had our little tech talk corner. I don't know what that was. A little tangent because there's not a lot to talk about
our
this
tech
week.
Talk tangent.
Yeah, I thought it was fun to talk about. So iOS, and the first thing we want to talk about is iOS 9, which according to 9 to 5 Mac is going to be akin to the Snow Leopard OS 10 release. Which means that it will have that it will focus on stability and optimization.
You know, it makes sense because Apple had to go through a couple big jumps with interface redesign and then new features.
Yeah.
So the third step would be, now that they've gone through all of that, now give us our stability and optimization. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if iOS 9 focuses more on that as opposed to throwing in new features.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, Snow Leopard was, I think a lot of people would agree that it was one of the best releases of OS 10. For that reason.
Yeah, Snow Leopard made me so happy when it came out because it wasn't like running through a minefield of applications. It was like a nice field with happy sunshine and dancing ponies.
Yeah, because it was a lot less of a new OS where you have a bunch of new features and you have to figure out some new stuff and look at the new things. It's more of what you're used to, except everything works a little better. And I'm looking forward
to
that.
In my case, a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be great. And so the expectation is that we'll see that at WWDC this year. We'll see a preview of that. They'll talk about how there are zero new features and everything's going to be better.
There'll be some new features.
Probably. Most likely.
But that's not going to be the big focus.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would imagine that if we don't see transit directions in maps in iOS 8 in either the 8.1 or 8.2 updates, then I'm guessing we'll probably see it as part of iOS 9. And we're getting to the point where it seems more and more likely that it'll be in iOS 9, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's going to be iOS 9 for a couple reasons. First, because it becomes a new feature to tout for iOS 9. But then second, it gives Apple a lot more time to work on making sure they have that nailed down. Because Apple's already been burned on crappy maps features.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up with transit directions, because if you're trying to get to work and you're asking the thing to route you from A to B through transit systems and the data is incorrect, you're not going to have some happy customers.
Oh, no. Yeah, I can just imagine people sitting in a train station in Chicago, and they're like, oh, well, I'm screwed.
Well,
I can't get where I need to go.
For what it's worth, though, the train schedule, with what the train is actually doing versus what, let's say, Google Maps says when the train's going to be there, I felt has always been a couple minutes off.
Well, a couple minutes off as opposed to sending you to the wrong station.
Yes.
To get on
yes.
the train. That's, yeah, I'm more concerned about whether or not Apple Maps sends you to the right place for your whatever your transit is going to be.
Right.
A couple minutes variation, that's probably pretty normal. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you have the different drivers and whatnot. So makes sense.
Right.
iOS 8.3 beta has been ceded to developers. And yes, it's true. iOS 8.2 is out there as a beta as well. So there are two betas of iOS 8 currently out there in the hands of developers. And it has focus on CarPlay, a new emoji picker, and Apple Pay for China. Are there any
so
other
that's
things
pretty cool.
in there? Yeah, there's focus on CarPlay. And I guess the big thing with CarPlay is that it can now be done wirelessly. So not exclusively through the Lightning cable. It will now work wirelessly in cars that work that way.
And that's pretty cool. I like the idea of not having to pull your iPhone out of your pocket and plug it into the cable dock, whatever thing. Just you sit down in your car and now all of a sudden whatever you need from your iPhone is on the dashboard.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds great.
That's pretty cool.
There's also the new emoji picker, which is in the new OS X version, which also came out, I think, around the same time. So OS X 10.10.3,
mm-hmm.
which included the Photos app, which, side note, is pretty cool.
I have not played with the new Photos app yet. I'm looking forward to it.
I like it.
And I get that this is not a professional app replacement, but a replacement for iPhoto.
Yeah. And it's great for that. Honestly, the when you turn on the sidebar, especially, there's a little sidebar that's not there by default, but it gives you access to things like you can directly find just all of your panoramas or all of your videos. That one I really like. Just immediately just show me all my videos in one screen. That's great.
That's very cool.
And you can do smart albums, regular albums, folders, faces, all that stuff is in there still.
So they've taken the iOS app and beefed it up for the Mac.
Yeah. It's really nice.
So that's good. I was concerned initially that it was going to be pretty much nothing more than the iOS version of Photos, just on a big screen with a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, I think there are going to be some bugs they need to work through, some user interface tweaks that need to be addressed. But so far, it's
oh, sure.
actually quite promising.
That's impressed. Awesome. And especially considering it's a beta application right now.
Yeah.
And not even available as a public beta, just to developers.
I've been opening it just because it's fun to play with, and it's much easier to just see all of my photos in one go this way than with iPhoto, because it groups it in a similar way too. When you do the zoom out and it gives you year by year, those groupings, it makes me think that I lost some photos almost because it's so compact, but it does not seem as though that happened, and it's very easy to find stuff very quickly. So far, so good. But yeah, there's the emoji picker, which is pretty cool because they've made it a lot easier to find the emoji that you're looking for. As those of you who use emoji know, whenever you're looking for that one character,
it's always a total pain in the butt.
It's a pain in the butt because you're like, was it under this category? No, it's not under that one. Is it under that one? No. And you just kind of keep going back and forth and scrolling through, and finally you find it. So they've made it into, for both iOS and OS X, a continuous single scrolling list where the categories at the bottom will just simply jump you down to
that part of the list.
To that part of that list. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. It's very nice.
All right. I like that. I approve.
Mm-hmm. And part of both 10.10.3 and 8.1.2, that's what we're still talking about, or 10.10.3 and 8.3 is Google two-step verification, two-step authentication for Google accounts. So for those
of
you... I
like that's built into the system now.
It is. Yep. It's built in for both of those OSs, and I don't use two-step, but at my school they use Google Apps for mail, and in order to get your email, they have it set up so you can't do IMAP forwarding.
Nice.
It's really a pain in the butt. But now, because it is Google Apps, if you have an app that is compatible with doing the Google authentication, the third-party OAuth kind of thing,
yep,
then it works. But unfortunately, Mail and Sparrow and many other apps didn't have that. Now Mail for OS X and iOS have that. So it works with those types of accounts as well, and I'm very pleased.
That's excellent. So now we just need Apple to officially release these.
Yeah. And that'll come when it comes.
Yes. Hopefully soon.
Yeah. So I think we're going to talk about the Apple Car.
I had a feeling we would.
Yeah. Well, after Brian wrote about it, we got to talk about it. So, but before we get to that, we're going to talk about our sponsor, which is Smile Software. At smilesoftware.com/TIOSS. That'll get you to their page to check out PDF Pen Pro 7 for OS X. It's the all-purpose Mac PDF editor. You can add signatures, text, images, make changes, correct typos, OCR, scan documents, fill out forms, and even more. And I liked this quote on the page. It was from one of the reviews, that its abilities compare with Acrobat Pro, and yet PDF Pen comes in roughly a tenth of the cost. And I think that's
actually
true.
I think its features are better than Acrobat Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah. As someone that's been involved in the professional graphic design industry for years and years and years, I go to PDF Pen instead of Acrobat Pro all the time.
Well, I know the Acrobat Pro interface is not nearly as good, especially now with the with version 7 of PDF Pen, because they have updated it with a modern Yosemite interface. And compared to what at least Adobe has with the Creative Suite, I'm on Creative Suite 6, it's not nearly as good.
No. And accessing features and just making things happen in general in PDF Pen Pro is so much better than Acrobat, just flat out across the board.
Yeah, and it has pretty much all of the major features that you would want from Acrobat. And of course, like I said, you can OCR pages, so you can just scan in any documents that you want. It'll do optical character recognition on those. And then you can, with PDF Pen Pro, you can actually edit that OCR text right there. You can even proof the OCR text too. And it's, they've got these new context sensitive pop-up menus. So if you're looking through, you turn on the OCR layer and it will call out all the stuff that has been OCR'd. And then you can select any word that is wrong. And it has a nice little pop-up that shows right there as soon as you select it. And then you can tweak the word. Very easy to do. It's much easier than it used to be to edit text. You have free form highlighting now. So in addition to standard highlighting, which you can do with preview and that basic sort of stuff, you can just, you know, you can use the highlight deal to make a circle around something just as you would with, you know, on a page with a highlighting pen, which is great. You can also add shapes and lines and all that kind of stuff, different colors, just any way that you want.
You can make forms.
Yeah, that is so cool. So with preview, if it'll kind of auto recognize where things are sometimes, and you can just click, and if it's not one that has a for real form built in, so it sometimes works, sometimes you just have to, you know, jam text in there the way that you want. PDF Pen will also do that, but this is where the pro feature comes in. If you are creating a PDF document that you want to send out and have people fill out the form on, you can actually create those real forms in the PDF document so people can fill them out. You can even put submit buttons, checkboxes, lists, all that
it's
stuff.
So much easier than doing it in Acrobat Pro. No kidding.
Take it from Jeff. I believe you. So, and that's super awesome. The other thing that I really like is that you can edit and create table of contents with both first level table of contents, and you can also do nested. So you can say chapter one or section one, and then the different chapters within that section, all that stuff. It is so cool. So then you can also export to Excel, PowerPoint, the PDF archive format, and of course there's compatibility with iCloud Drive. So it's got all the stuff that you want. It's really cool. Check it out. SmileSoftware.com/Tyos. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. So, Jeff.
Michael.
The car.
Yeah.
So we it was spotted by Business Insider, or at least forwarded. This we talked about it last week, right? The the black van with the weird cameras on it. And so on Monday, it was Business Insider. They're saying that that Apple is working on a project that will give Tesla a run for its money. So they were, according to them, after writing about how the van could be used for a self-driving car, they got an unsolicited email from who they claim is an Apple employee about vehicle development at the company. And they say that Apple's latest project is too exciting to pass up. The person said, I think it will change the landscape and give Tesla a run for its money. And thankfully for us, I deleted the show a bit today because there was another article that recently
came out
from the Financial Times, saying that Apple is recruiting automotive experts to work in a top secret research lab that is not in Cupertino. Johnny Ive is involved. I believe a lot of the iPhone team is involved.
Apple also just recently hired the leader of Mercedes-Benz R&D for this secret lab.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when we said last week that Apple isn't working on a car.
No, what we said is Apple isn't working on a self-driving car.
A self-driving car. Okay.
Yeah. And I still believe that the black van is not part of the car project. Oh, okay. I think that is part of their street view thing.
What does Brian say? So Brian Chaffin over at TMO.
Okay. So Brian, he has sources that have been talking to him, And he'd been trying to get confirmation since even before Business Insider ran their piece. And then after they ran their piece, then he
took that as confirmation.
Yeah, the timing came together so that Brian could run his piece. So he did. And what it comes down to is Apple has been hiring people from Tesla so that they can work on a car project. So not self-driving. I'm thinking electric car.
Most likely. And,
yep. Which would make sense if they're hiring people from Tesla. And so right now, you know, the car's in a development stage. This is not something that's ready to hit the road as a beta vehicle on test tracks. And you know, but then if they're hiring people like they did from Mercedes, then that tells me that this is much like the hiring phase that Apple had for Apple Watch a couple years ago, where they, you know, over the past 2 years, they've been hiring all of these top level people. And as they were hiring them, they were able to put them into the pool working on that top secret project. And now here we are only, we're in February. Apple Watch comes out in April. So a few weeks away from that. So I'm thinking that we're a lot more than a few weeks away from an Apple car. And knowing that it takes a while to actually build, test, and then make something like this truly happen, I'm assuming a few years. But in the grand scheme of things, coming up really soon.
Yeah.
And so if Apple is doing something that's going to give Tesla a run for their money, it sure sounds like Apple is designing their own electric car, and that they're designing it the way Apple would design a car, not the way car manufacturers would design a car. And that makes me happy. I have said for a long time, tongue in cheek, that I would love to buy a car that Apple makes. And it turns out that in the next few years, I may be able to do just that.
Yeah, we'll see. I've certainly had my eye on those, on the Teslas, especially the Model 3 that is said to be coming out, well, not coming out, but announced maybe this year, perhaps. But who knows?
Yeah. And I love that Tesla is working on a grand plan that goes beyond catering to high-end luxury car buyers, and that they're working on coming down in price so that they have products that cater to all different price brackets. So eventually we'll have an economy car, Tesla.
Yeah.
And so if they're doing that, then that I think that creates an environment where there's a more open view from a lot of people on electric cars, and especially on Tesla's cars. And that'll make it a lot easier for Apple to jump in at the high end with their car. And then if they want later on, then they can come up with something that's more economical or at a lower price point.
Yeah,
of course, who knows? Maybe Apple surprise us and they'll make a car. But you know how the Mac was the computer for the rest of us? Maybe they're going to make the car that's for the rest of us, and it'll be at a price point that's reasonable for the average person.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not holding my breath for that.
I'm not holding my breath for it. But as I say it, I'm kind of excited, hoping that maybe we'll be surprised and that's what happens.
Well, it'll be a few years at least.
Yes. So we definitely have time to save up some pennies.
Yeah. Let's see here. iPhone 6 Plus owners. This is an interesting study. I just wanted to mention this from according to Citrix. Is it the same Citrix as they do the? Yeah. Okay. So they say that according to them, iPhone 6 Plus owners use twice as much data as 6 owners do.
iPhone 6 Plus users burning through more data makes sense to me. Twice as much seems kind of crazy.
It does sound kind of crazy.
But a lot of people that are buying the 6 Plus are buying it so that it handles their telephone needs and their tablet needs.
Yeah.
So I think that in and of itself makes them more likely to be using data more than an iPhone 6 user.
Yeah.
But wow, twice as much? That's crazy.
It is crazy. I hear a cat.
Yeah, Nightshade, my office assistant, decided to hop up on my lap right now and announce her presence.
Cool.
So now we have a third on the show today.
Sweet. Oh, this I like. The Starbucks app has gained support for Apple Pay finally.
Yes.
It was announced during the Apple Pay presentation that Starbucks would have Apple Pay capability built within it, and it, up until now, did not.
So the thing is, the Apple Pay support in the Starbucks app, from what I understand, is limited to reloading your card because Starbucks does not have Apple Pay compatible card readers in their stores yet.
Yes. Yeah, that is true. Now, I may try and do it at some point, but I don't know.
Time I need to reload my Starbucks card, which will probably be next week, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I already have my Visa hooked into it. So,
And I have mine hooked into, but it's the same Visa that I'm using for Apple Pay.
Yeah. And it would be different for me. So it's not ideal.
Well, I'll let you know how it works out.
Okay. Sounds good. There we go. I think there are extra features in the new Starbucks app. There are calorie counts and stuff like that. So that's good.
Yeah. Which is nice.
They had that in there for a while, but then with the new app,
the Starbucks app used to be so awesome. I mean, I could, store all the different drinks I wanted and the calorie counts and all that stuff was in there. And it was just so much easier to navigate, and it had so much more useful information. Then they came out with the app version we have now, and all I wanted was the old app back. So yeah. Maybe we're getting a little bit closer to having the old app again. It was so much better than the version we have now.
Yeah.
I know. These are my first world problems.
Mine too. And in the App Store, they have lifted the maximum size amount for apps from 2 to 4 gigabytes. And I think that it has been 2 gigabytes since the beginning of the App Store. Is that correct?
I believe so. And when you said lifted, had I been looking at the show notes, I would have known where you're going. I thought you were going to say lifted the ban on marijuana apps.
They did, but no, I wasn't going there.
Well, bonus. They lifted the maximum app size and the ban on marijuana apps. You're welcome.
There you go. Good times. But I think this is a really good thing for developers, the 4 gigabyte limit. Maybe not such a good thing for people with small devices, storage wise, but I mean, if you look at it, since the App Store was introduced, our devices have gained much more resolution and screen size. And, of course, games, especially, I think this impacts the most. Games have gotten more complex, and there have been issues with certain titles coming out. I believe it was Final Fantasy VII couldn't come to iOS because of that limit.
So it opens up the market for games and other apps that otherwise couldn't be there. I'm also wondering if this is Apple telegraphing that they're finally wising up and they're not going to offer 8 gigabyte devices anymore.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine someone downloads Final Fantasy on their 8 gig iPod Touch?
Yeah, and then you're essentially out of room. You're done.
Yeah, and now you can't boot your device anymore because it's out of memory.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No, but now that we have that 4 gig limit, someone's going to do it.
Someone will do it. And, you know, there are those devices. I think it was the original iPhone had the 4 gigs. They did have 4 gig iPhones for a bit.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Those didn't last for very long.
No, they didn't. Speaking of games, I like this. Apple is now promoting games. They call them pay once and play. So games that don't have in-app purchases. So you pay an honest price. Here's what it's worth. pay it if you want, play it, enjoy. You're not going to be bugged for additional money. I like it. I think it's cool.
I think it's great that Apple is doing that. And I wonder if they're doing it just because they know that there's a lot of people trying to find games where they don't have to do in-app purchases, or if they're doing it because they're making a statement, you know, kind of a passive-aggressive thing.
I would imagine it is, if both, I think it's more passive-aggressive for the in favor of not doing so many in-app purchases.
Yeah, totally possible.
Yeah, yeah.
And good for Apple.
Good for Apple. And the last thing on our list is that Apple is now allowing two-step authentication for iMessage and FaceTime. If you do that, you can now, I guess it's more secure, right? Because it's required for that. Before it wasn't.
Yeah, before it wasn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad Apple's adding that in. And I hope they continue to add in two-step verification for more of their services.
Yeah. I don't use it, but
I'm not using it right now, but that's not by choice. I have this weird thing because I have three or four different accounts because that's just how it works. And so my main account that I would want to use two-factor authentication on, I can't because it's asking me to verify a credit card that's a number that I've never had ever. Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, okay, can't do that.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. I'm sure Apple won't help you with that either.
No, their response was, well, it's obviously a card you've had because it's in your account.
Cool.
No, actually, I have a record of all the credit cards I've had, and no. But okay.
Good times.
Yeah. So we're kind of at a stalemate there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, unless there's anything else you think we should talk about, I think it's time for our picks. That's assuming you have a pick. I don't have a pick, though.
I do have a pick.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that gives you some time to hunt in case there is something that you want to do as a pick.
Yeah.
Okay, this is something that initially I didn't think would be a pick, but then I started playing with it for a couple of minutes. So I'm like, this is actually pretty cool. So Nomad, they're a company that makes like charger accessories for portable devices. Mm-hmm. And they've made a bunch of stuff for iPhone and iPad. And they have this new charger, portable charger cable, lightning charger cable that's out. It's also a carabiner. And instead of just being like a cheapo, crappy, it's going to fall apart carabiner, this thing is a big chunk of aluminum with plastic wrapped around it. And then in the plastic part, that's where the USB and lightning connectors are. And it's actually a hefty little carabiner. It's not for climbing. I want to make sure everyone knows that. They did stamp it right on the side, not for climbing. But it's a substantial carabiner. And this is something that I'm betting if I clipped it on my bag and had keys hanging off of it, the bag would rip apart before this thing popped apart.
Nice.
Yeah. So at $40, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be like, oh, I wouldn't pay for that. But keep in mind, it's a high quality, really durable utility carabiner with a lightning charger cable built in. And the USB and the lightning ports or plugs, they lock in to place in the corners on the carabiner. So they're just out of the way. And if you didn't know that this was also a lightning charger cable, you just wouldn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sharp.
It's pretty cool.
I like that. Yeah, I had one of those sorts of things for the 30 pin. But since then I have not. Maybe I should get this.
Yeah, I'm really liking it. And what I've been doing for organizing all my keys, I have a different ring, you know, just the ring part for various keys. And then I have these tiny little sort of like mini utility double-sided carabiner things from Night Eyes that I use so I can just clip keys together as I need them. And I may be able to just stop doing that, and whatever I need, I can put onto this and then just clip it to whatever, and away I go. So anyhow, I'm kind of excited about this.
Nice.
All right, you still don't have anything, do you?
No, I don't. I was just checking out the Nomad clip.
Yeah, they also have a new version of their little key ring clip. What do they call it? I think it's called Nomad Key, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
New version of that, and it's more durable now.
Yeah, that one's $25.
Yeah, and it goes onto your key ring as if it was another key, and it has a little bit heftier casing around the lightning end. And then on the USB end, instead of just being exposed pins, it's actually a proper lightning plug. And it has a little bit beefier reinforcement for that really tiny flexible cable piece in between the two ends, but it doesn't really take up any more space than the older version.
Nice.
So that's kind of cool too. There you go.
I think that's
I just took care of your pick for you.
Yeah, that's my pick. The what is it called? It's the Nomad Key.
Yeah, so I went with the Nomad Clip, and by proxy you went with the Nomad Key.
Yeah. And you've had this device, you can recommend it because you've had it, right?
Yeah, I've had the old version of the Nomad Key.
Okay, cool.
For a while, and it's been great, and it's just lived on my keychain, which gets a lot of abuse. And so, as soon as I got the new Nomad Key, I swapped it out. And my first thought before I popped it on my keychain was, "This thing's kind of clunky looking in comparison to the old one." And I put it on, and then I realized, no, actually, it's just more durable. It doesn't really take up any more space. So that was cool.
Nice. All right. So with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Tell a friend. If you know someone who would like the show, let them know. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the address to which you can send any emails to us. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast.
And as always, it's awesome to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's like a party.
Is it Lincoln's birthday or something like that?
Is that today or was that yesterday?
I don't know.
Some
places are closed. Oh, yeah, yesterday was Lincoln's birthday.
Yeah, I think it was, yesterday.
Well, thanks for finding the time on the day after, on the come down from Lincoln's birthday.
I know. It's always rough the day after Lincoln's birthday.
Yeah. And, of course, I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll talk to you next time. God, what the hell? Train wreck at the end of the show.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's always rough after those crazy Lincoln parties.
I know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll talk to you next time on the iOS show. An iPod, a phone, and an internet.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Stylus. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, 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 yuck. Yuck, yuck. No, 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 no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus.